But we're going to look into this morning into 2 Peter. We don't often read 2 Peter. I don't often read 2 Peter. Perhaps you don't often read 2 Peter. But it's a very interesting little letter. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read the whole of the chapter. It's 21 verses, but we're going to concentrate on some of the middle verses, 12 to 15. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a life of godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, and he also means sisters as well, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And these are the next verses that we're going to concentrate on. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. May God bless to us his word. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find it difficult to relate to some of the passages of Scripture, and also sometimes difficult to relate to some of the people in the Bible. But there is one person I feel I can relate to, and that is Peter. Because I've spoken out of turn, just as Peter did, when he tried to prevent Jesus from going up to Jerusalem. And I'm sure God has had to say to me sometimes, "Get behind me, Satan." Sometimes I've said profound things, I'm sure. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." I've jumped out of the boat on occasions in faith, as Marion and I and the family went off to Nigeria, and much to the, I wouldn't say annoyance, but concern of our family. We jumped out of the boat, and then when we got there, we saw the waves. We had 3 months of illness, and we started to sink. I've doubted too. Maybe I've not denied Jesus, but sometimes I've kept quiet when I should have said things. I've gone back on promises, as Peter did, when he was so convinced to include the Gentiles, and then later on, Paul confronted him and said, "Hey, Peter, you've gone back on your promises here." Mind you, there are dissimilarities as well. I've never had a desire to be Pope, for one thing. And I'm not sure I can remember cutting off anybody's ear with a sword. And I don't particularly feel that I want to be martyred as Peter was. But there are so many things we can relate to with the Apostle Peter. I'm old. He was old when he wrote this letter. He had a poor memory. He knew that other people had a poor memory. He had a poor memory because he got Mark to write a gospel of all the things that he remembered. And he says, I come to now remind you of these things. I come to want you to remember these things and be refreshed, raised up by these things. Mind you, somebody said, did you know that in an old tree trunk that has fallen down and is lying in the forest, it has more life in it than any living tree that's growing in the forest? So there's hope for some of us yet. And so it's these verses in the centre that we're going to look at. And if we can put on, this is where we're going. I think I'm going to stand for a bit. I'm not comfortable sitting down here. This is where we're going. So that we relearn what we know, we remember what we know, and we respond to what we know. Because in a moment we'll see how that refreshing the memory is it's a word used to arouse you, to raise you up. And there are three things that Peter mentions here in this passage that he wants us to remember very significantly. And the first is your gospel of deliverance. Second is the work of discipline, the work of a disciple, that should be. The work of a disciple. Sorry about that. I obviously sent the wrong information. The work of your discipleship and your eternal destiny. And so here we have it. And this is what we're going to look at. He says, first of all, the Lord has shown me that my end is near. And I want you to really realize that you need to be stirred up. You need to make every effort to make your calling and election sure, in verse 10. We're not going to go into election. John Calvin was the one who almost... He championed that God would only choose a certain number of people and he would save them. C.H. Spurgeon had an answer to John Calvin. He said, Lord, save those you've chosen, you've elected. Then elect some more and save them as well. Whether that's quite theologically correct, I'm not sure. But Peter wants us to be reminded. Here is the preacher pastor to remind us of what we already know, what we may have forgotten, or what we perhaps have not fully appreciated. And the first one is this gospel of deliverance. He starts off with saying, we receive grace and peace in verse 2. He says, you're righteous in Jesus Christ, he says in verse 1. In verse 4, he said, we participate in the divine nature. If we know Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we're actually part of His nature. And we've got these precious promises. And if we escape from the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And then at the end of verse 9, he says, have you not remembered, have you forgotten that you've been cleansed from your past sins? And so he reminds us of the gospel of deliverance. And he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth and a living hope. Here we go back to 1 Peter. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed. Max Boyce says, I was there. Have you been there? Knowing your gospel of deliverance, and knowing Jesus. I want to remind you of that, he says. The second thing he wants to remind us of is our work of discipleship. This holy living theme of Peter in the first epistle, his first letter, comes over to... Can we leave those just for a minute, Andrew, please? Oh, we'll come back to that in a second or two. This holy living comes over into a list of characteristics. And he says, look, in our discipleship, what we really need is faith. And then goodness. And then knowledge, from verse 5 onwards. And to knowledge you add self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Here we have five of the fruit of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians 5. And so Peter says, in our discipleship, this is what I want you to remind you of. This is what is important. That the Holy Spirit produces this fruit in your life so you're not going to be unproductive or ineffective. And the third thing he wants to remind us of is our eternal destiny. And in verse 11, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Peter 1, 3 and 5, we got 1 Peter 1, 3 and 5, he reminds us of this eternal destiny, that it's kept in heaven for you. It's not going to perish, it's not going to fade, it's kept in heaven, who through faith you're shielded by God's power until the coming salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Not cleverly invented stories. The writer to the Hebrews reminds us too. He says, we must pay careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. We're reminded. And then Peter goes on and he says, I want you to remember what I've just reminded you of. It doesn't mean that we remember it if we're just reminded. Sometimes we can be reminded of something and then we can go off and we can forget it and we can just do our own thing. But he says, I want you to think about this. Not just say, oh yes, and get on with it. But he says, I want you to be reminded and marvel at it. And marvel at the gospel of deliverance. In 1 Peter, he reminds us of the cost of our redemption. Reminds us of Jesus. In 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, you'll not redeem with silver and gold or perishable things. But you're redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your fathers with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Just think about it. Just dwell on it. Just remember that Jesus said, I've chosen you. And you know, one of the greatest things you can do, somebody said to me early on in my Christian experience, he said, write down when God speaks to you. Write down when you became a Christian. This is my little black folder. In here are all my precious promises that God has given me over the years. There's a record of my conversion in 1958. In the summer of 1958, in Mrs. Abberley's house at 10 Tunnel Hill, Worcester, when the speaker was Stan Coleman, from the Children's Society, and I was in a Christian Endeavor meeting. And the Lord convicted me of my sin, and I went home and I knelt by my bed, it says, and I gave my life to Jesus. I know I did it, because it's written down and I can look back to it, and I can remember that now. I know it happened. And in the times of difficulty, and in the times of doubt, and in the times of fear, we can look back and we can say, yes. Never forget what God says to you. Because the evil one comes, doesn't he? And he said, like he did to Eve, did God say? Yes, God said. And then the work of discipleship we're to remember too. So write down every time God speaks to you in your discipleship. He's chosen me. This is my black book. 1959, June, I was baptized. Worcester Baptist Church, record of baptism. I even remember the song that they sang when I was going down into the water. just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. Write it down, and you'll remember it. And you'll look back and say, yes, that happened to me. I'm saved. I belong. And in the tough times, I've got times here written down when I had a burnout situation. I've got times written down when our daughter was miraculously healed overnight. And the wonderful psalm from Psalm 30, weeping may tarry for the night time, but joy comes in the morning, and it did. Write them down. And you will be able to remember. All through the Bible, there are aids to memoir. When they crossed the River Jordan, what did they do? They got 12 guys to pick up 12 big stones, and they plonked them on the other side of the river, and they said, that will be what? A memorial. Not a memorial to be of the dead, but a memorial so that they could remember. And you'd tell your children about it, and the children will go back, and they'll look at it, and they'll say, oh yeah, it happened there. This is what this is all about. To keep us on track with our memory. And when we're worried and when we're concerned, we can look back and say, yes, God did do that for me. Yes, God did take me along there. Yes, God did bring me here. Yes, God is blessing me in times of illness and unemployment. Billy Graham writes in one of his daily readings, he says, worry is something that can get to us. Worry can really trouble you. Worry is an old man with a bent head carrying a load of feathers which he thinks is lead. And Billy Graham goes on to say, you know, you worry about so many things. Few people can rest these days. He said, even on vacation, people rush about and cram in loads and loads of things. And they spend twice as much energy catching up on the work when they come home from vacation as they did when they were before. Many need vacations just to rest from their vacations. But Jesus said, come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And then he says, think a bit more about your eternal destiny. Remember that. As you get older, you tend to think about God's future and your future. Peter the pastor was saying, look, I'm not going to be here much longer. Just as Jesus told me, I'm going to die, but I want you to think about this eternal destiny. He remembers what he saw on the mountain. He saw it. He heard God's voice. He heard the teaching of Jesus. He told Mark all the things for Mark to write down about how Jesus was going to come back. And he remembered. There's a story told of the boy who was on the beach. And on the west coast of America, you get this beautiful day with the wind blowing in. Then all of a sudden, a sea mist will blow in across the beach. And he was flying his kite. And all of a sudden, the kite disappeared in the mist. And the man came to him as he was standing there with his string looking up. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm flying my kite. He said, I can't see any kite. How do you know you're flying a kite? He said, I know it's there. Because every now and again I get a tug on the string. And I know it's still there. Every now and again. When things are dark, when things are difficult, and when things, God seems very distant, you can get a little tug to be reminded. This was found on a Holocaust wall in one of the death camps. I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. I believe in love even when I can't feel it. I believe in God even when he's silent. Take time to remember, and then spend a few minutes in praise. And then he says, in these middle verses, he said, I want you to also, in verse 13 particularly, he says, I want you to have your memory refreshed. Because as long as I live in this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, our Lord Jesus Christ made that clear to me, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things and be refreshed. And that's an very interesting word, that word refreshed. There are two similar words in the New Testament. One is translated aroused. The other is translated resurrected. And they're very similar. And sometimes in some Bibles you get a change in the translation. And Peter, almost in a sense, is saying, I want you to be stirred up, to be aroused, to be woken up, to have a resurrection experience by remembering these things. Remembering your gospel of deliverance. I don't know whether it helps you, but I tell you what helps me from time to time is when I look at some verses of Scripture, and if you could put that Colossians 1:13 up, Andrew, for me. Often the Bible is written in the third person, for he has rescued us. Personalize it. For he has rescued me from the dominion of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of his Son whom he loves. And the verse goes on, in whom I have redemption and forgiveness of sins. There are some that are in the first person. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And I find this interesting, you know, to say, these are for me. Don't I know that I myself am God's temple and God's Spirit lives in me? For it's by grace I have been saved through faith, and this is not from myself. It's a gift of God, not by my works, so that I can't boast. For I'm God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for me to do. Do you ever do this? I find it really helpful to do. Personalize the Bible so that it belongs to you. And then, when you've done that, go to that one and have a time of praise. Because there's some wonderful praise prayers in the Bible. Oh, there's some fantastic praise prayers. When we think about our eternal destiny and how God has created a place for us in heaven, there are many rooms in God's house. There'll be there one for you if you belong to Jesus. And David praise God. When they were bringing loads and loads of things to be able to contribute to building the temple, I felt sorry for David. He wasn't allowed to build it. His son had to build it. But he instituted people bringing their gold and their silver. And he says, oh, praise be to you, O Lord God, our Father, Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power, and exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. How exalting is that? How wonderful is that? Peter. Can you go back to the slide with it all on, with the deliberate mistake? Peter, no, with the headings, please, is the one who gives advice. He's about to die. He says you to make your calling and election sure, you to be reminded, you are to deliberately take time to remember. And you are to respond and refreshed, to relearn what you know, to remember what you know, to respond to what you know, the gospel of deliverance, the work of discipleship, and the eternal destiny. Now, whether Peter was prophetic or whether he knew about Mark's gospel, I don't know. But we reckon, or the commentators reckon, that Mark's gospel was written in about the mid-50s AD. Peter's letters, and particularly this second letter, was probably written in about the mid-60s AD. Possibly 10, 7, 8, 10 years after Mark had written his gospel. And so Peter was saying, and the early church fathers recognized that it was from Peter that Mark got his information. And so Peter could almost be saying here, I am leaving something for you so that you can always remember. I will make every effort after my departure that you will always remember these things. And he's almost saying, and if you really want to remember them, read Mark's gospel. That's where my experiences of Jesus are recorded. He's concise. He's direct. He's very pointed. And Mark's gospel is very Peter. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that this scripture comes to us and that it confirms that we can continually think of that wonderful deliverance that we have in Christ. We can continually remember that work of discipleship to which you call us, that your Spirit might work in our lives. We can continue to remember what is before us. It's not that we live without any hope. We have a hope of an eternal destiny. And as we come around the table, we pray, Father, that you will remind us of these things because they were fulfilled and they were enabled by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection and ascension. We thank you for him. And we pray that he may minister to us now around his table. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.